Okay, Pastor Robbie Horn is in the house. Yay! He's going to bring the second installment of our message. Come on up, Pastor Robbie.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
It is so much fun being here. I've bonded with you guys since Sunday. Is it all right if I tell you I like you? Is it all right if I tell you I love you?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad to be here this morning. We're talking about the progression of the kingdom of God.
All right.
If you wanted to get a Jewish person's attention in the first century, you talked about the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Because they wanted the kingdom of God badly.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The Roman nation was ruling the earth and Palestine, and they wanted, Israel wanted their kingdom back.
Yes.
Talked about four groups of people, had their own ideas about the kingdom. One group was the Herodians. And they said, man, Rome's in control. We just need to suck up to Rome and go with them, and God will bring in his kingdom. Wrong.
Yeah.
Then there were the zealots.
Yeah.
They said, no. Rebel against Rome. They were out and out revolutionaries.
Yeah.
Then there were the Essenes.
Yeah.
What did they do? They left society behind and went out in the wilderness and made copies of the Word of God. Pretty good thing to do. But that wasn't what was going to bring in the kingdom of God. And then there were the Pharisees that said, if you keep the law perfectly, add a bunch of religious baggage to it and put it on your shoulders, carry it around, and be perfect, one day God will come and set up his kingdom. Wrong. No, that wasn't it. Jesus said, repent. Repent means change your mind. Change your mind. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
All right.
You need to stop thinking about these four kingdom concepts. I'm the Son of God, and I'm going to tell you about the kingdom. And Jesus wanted people to know that the kingdom was not just exclusive for one little group. When John the Baptist's messengers came to him, what did he see? He said, are you really the Messiah? Jesus said, you go back and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. That the blind receive their sight. That the lame walk. That the lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. All those people you think aren't good enough for the kingdom of God, you go back and tell John, that's who I'm working with. Everybody's welcome in the kingdom of God. And we, as Christians today, do kingdom work. Okay? And the kingdom of God is progressing. From the time Jesus started his ministry to the age in which we live. And we learned Monday, and I found out that I didn't preach long enough Monday, so I'm going to go overtime. Well, okay.
Wait, you stopped too soon.
I stopped too soon. So, hey, if you're not worried about time, I'm not going to be, okay? But we learned last Monday that we sow seed, and that seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God falls on different kinds of soil. And then we learn from the parable of the tares that the field is the world.
Yes.
I was pastoring a church several years ago in a different city. And boy, we started doing real well. The Lord started adding unto us. And I ran into one of the pastors who was also in my community, and he said, brother, I wanted to tell you something. You need to stay out of our neighborhood. He said, now that neighborhood belongs to my church. And I made him angry because I said, I'm sorry, sir, but the field is the world. We sow the seed in the world. And guess what? In this world, as we sow the seed of God and do kingdom work, we have an enemy. Jesus called him the wicked one. And then explained and said he was the devil. And what does the devil do? He opposes everything we try to do as Christians for the kingdom of God today. That's what he does. He sows tares among the wheat. Tares look like wheat, but it's not wheat. But the only way you can tell the difference
is when the harvest comes.
Come on now.
And you know what? A tare is not, doesn't look like wheat in the final stages. And we have to deal with that.
Yes.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Satan oversows everything we try to do in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Guys, it's a battle. You say, Robbie, why is it so hard to be a Christian? Why is it so hard to build churches? I'll tell you why. We have an enemy.
That's right.
And he opposes everything we do. But guys, we keep going. And we keep serving. And we keep planting seed as the kingdom progresses. And God will take care of the rest.
Yes, he will.
At the harvest. Okay, we've learned about the enemy. Then we come to the parable of the mustard seed. Interesting, and you guys may think I'm crazy by the time I finish with this today, but give what I say a little bit of thought this morning, okay? Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now remember, we have an enemy, and he's oversowing the work that we do. And this man sowed a mustard seed, and he took it and sowed it in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. Now notice that. That's important. It's the greatest among herbs. And becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Let's think about this parable of the mustard seed. It's interesting. Someday, I better get a little closer to the mic. Someday, and I pray it will be soon, Jesus, the Son of God, will return to earth. And he's going to set up his kingdom, a physical kingdom, not like a spiritual kingdom like we're doing today. And until that kingdom comes, when Jesus is ruling and reigning, and he's going to do that, a spiritual kingdom exists. Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. What he's saying here is that the kingdom of God is inside us. That the kingdom of God is spiritual now. The Matthew parables of Matthew 13 depict this principle. I mean, as we therefore move forward and progress in the direction of the literal kingdom of heaven, we sow by preaching the word. Some seed falls by the wayside, some falls on stony ground, some falls among thorns, and some falls on good ground. And this brings us to the parable of the mustard seed. Let's think about seeds and the kingdom of heaven. When the kingdom of heaven, what is the kingdom of heaven? We told you it is spiritual, but Jesus said it's like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Jesus also said that a mustard seed is the least, the smallest of all seeds. And it is natural to assume from the mustard seed that the kingdom of heaven starts out small, the seed sprouts, grows into a herb, and then into a tree, showing the growth and overwhelming success of the kingdom of heaven. But remember, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. Did you know that a mustard seed will never grow into a tree? It won't. It won't. The phrase, when it is grown, can be translated, may have grown. Dr. E.W. Bullinger, a brilliant Greek and Hebrew scholar, wrote, the growth, a mustard seed becoming a tree, is contrary to nature and symbolizes an unnatural result with its consequences. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, that he didn't know that herbs didn't grow into trees. Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. Therefore, according to Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, as it progresses through this age, will become, in many ways, something unnatural, something that Jesus never intended for it to be. It becomes a tree instead of a herb. Now, let's talk about trees and the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven like as it progresses through this age? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it has grown, or may have grown, it is the greatest among herbs. Not among trees, but among herbs. A mustard seed that grows into a tree just isn't right. A mustard seed sprouts and then grows to be about 3.5 feet tall. It's an herb, not a tree. A tree is an unnatural manifestation of a mustard seed. You say, well, Pastor Robbie, what's going on here? Why is Jesus saying that a mustard seed becomes a tree? The answer is, the seed of the kingdom of heaven is sown by the wayside in stony places, among thorns, and on good ground. Furthermore, after the seed of the kingdom of heaven has been sown, the wicked one, Satan, oversows the good seed with bad seed and tares. Bad seed grow and intertwine with the wheat, the good seed. If you haven't figured it out by now, Satan will not allow good seed to grow without opposition. Tares growing with wheat, intertwined with wheat, affects the wheat adversely. Satan doesn't want good seed growing. Satan wants the wheat to, doesn't want it to mature and to become fruitful. Look. Kingdom heaven progresses. It moves forward. But as it moves forward, sometimes with the work of Satan, that work is thwarted. It doesn't grow right. Now, let me give you a little illustration. I have a little dog. Sir? No, it's not.
Green light?
Green light is not on. There it is. I have a little dog. I'm the only person in the world that dog likes. Tickles me to death. It tolerates my wife. That dog thinks he was born to protect me. Got a study at my house. And he goes back there with me. He weighs 12 pounds. He's a vicious dog. He goes back there with me, and if my wife comes anywhere near that study, he gets up and tells her, you're not welcome here. And my wife says, listen, I help pay for this house. We had some work done, and one of my friends by the name of Casey Shelnut did the work in the house when we bought it recently. We downsized. I'm getting older. And my dog protected me the whole time Casey was there. Bark, 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 bark. Finally, Casey said, Robbie, that dog just ain't right. Friends, I want to tell you something about a mustard seed growing into a tree. Pardon my Arkansas English. That ain't right.
It ain't.
It's not right. It ain't right. The kingdom of God becomes something through this age, not always, but there's parts of the kingdom of God that just ain't right. Okay? Let's look at birds. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it has grown, or when it may have grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree. Look at this. So that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. This is not a picture of Christians nesting, living in trees, happily chirping out praises to God. There is a huge difference between perching and nesting. A bird perches when it lights on a limb or on a vine for a brief time. A bird nests when it finds a place to call home, where it can lay its eggs and give birth to its children. Now, a bird doesn't mind perching on a mustard vine briefly, but for the safety of its eggs, its children, a bird prefers to nest high in the branches of trees where it is protected from snakes and wild animals. Birds perch briefly, but they nest for the long haul. In the parable of the sower, Jesus calls birds the wicked one. That is Satan, the devil himself. Let me tell you, Satan doesn't perch. Satan nests. We can't give the devil an inch or he will take a mile. He's going to do that. This is the reason the Apostle Paul says that we shouldn't give room for the devil in Ephesians 4:27. He doesn't want to perch for a while. He wants to nest and stay there forever. Satan, with birds and tares, is going to fight the kingdom of heaven until the end. Guys, it's not going to get any easier for us. We got to fight this battle. Satan, with birds and tares, continually infiltrates the kingdom of heaven to fight it, to keep it from progressing. He mutates the kingdom of heaven and turns the kingdom of heaven into something that doesn't even resemble God's original intent. We can get so caught up in tares, mutated trees, and singing birds that we have no idea what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Kingdom of heaven is not being a zealot, overthrowing the government. Too many Christians are wasting their time and are being sucked down that black hole. Don't count on the president or your congressmen or senators. They're not going to legislate the kingdom of God. And you're not going to be able to overthrow it. They got too much money. The kingdom is not about being Herodian, compromising and using human methods to do God's work. The kingdom of heaven is not about being a Pharisee. That is, keeping rules and regulations to please God. God help you if that's your idea. The kingdom of heaven is not about being an essay, that is, withdrawing from society, becoming a recluse, and studying the Bible 24 hours a day. These are just tares, mutated trees, and singing birds that look impressive but accomplish nothing. So what is the kingdom of heaven? The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verse 13. And he tells us here, the kingdom of God is not about what you eat or what you drink or being judgmental, but it's about loving God, loving people, living in peace,
and being joyful. That's the kingdom of God. Not how many rules Robbie Horn can keep, because Lord knows I'm going to break most of them. I'm a child of the 60s. It's not how many petitions Robbie Horn signs. It's about loving God, loving people, and being happy. All the rest of it is just birds and trees. That keeps us busy, but doesn't accomplish a whole lot. Then we come to the parable of the leaven, verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Look, as we move forward and progress in the kingdom of God, toward that literal kingdom when Jesus rules and reigns, we're going to face some things. As we move forward, we're going to sow seed. Some of it will fall on good ground, some of it won't. Satan's going to oppose us and oversow what we do with tares, false wheat. And then there's going to be some manifestations of the kingdom of God that, quote again, just ain't right. And then we come to leaven. You say, Brother Robbie, what do you think's under consideration here? First of all, it's fellowship with God. Hey, guys, the kingdom of heaven is not about me. The kingdom of heaven is not about building up Robbie Horn. Are you building up yourself? The kingdom of heaven is about having fellowship with God. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The phrase 3 measures of meal doesn't mean a great deal to a non-Jewish 21st century person. However, to Jewish people in the first century, 3 measures of meal was full of meaning. The first time this phrase is used is in Genesis 18. The Lord and 2 other holy persons appeared to Abraham at Mamre. And Abraham ran to Sarah, and in Genesis 8, chapter 18, verse 6 said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." Abraham recognized the visitor as God. 500 years later, God established the law of Moses. And he pointed out that a sinning Israelite couldn't bring a lamb as an offering of sin. That if he couldn't do that, he could bring the 10th part of an ephah, which is 3 measures of meal. So what does this mean? A sacrifice for sin ensured fellowship with God. Now I want to tell you guys something. God wants to be in fellowship with us. And we should want to be in fellowship with God. I mean, I think there's some aspects of the kingdom of God today that ain't right, that has nothing to do with God. But we're about fellowship with God. The 3 measures of meal is about having fellowship with God, about having the things straightened out in our lives that are wrong, so that we can have fellowship with God. The Apostle John said, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. Satan doesn't want anyone having a close relationship with God. Why? Because people who have a close relationship with God, they understand how unique that fellowship is, and they want to share it. And Satan doesn't want you sharing the gospel with anyone. He doesn't want that to happen. And he'll stand in your way. So what does Satan do? He permeates the kingdom of heaven with leaven. Destroys the fellowship between man and God. And brings the advancement of the kingdom of heaven to a screeching halt. Leaven. It's not talking about the kingdom of God permeating the world. My friends, it's talking about the world permeating the kingdom of God. Let's talk about disturbing influences. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Leaven, no doubt, influences the 3 measures of meal. What, therefore, does leaven do to the kingdom of heaven? Leaven influences or changes the kingdom of heaven. For example, the church at Corinth had been influenced by leaven. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5. Sexual immorality had become no big deal to them. They had become, as Paul said, puffed up. That is, proud and haughty, because a member, probably a young man, was having an affair with his older father's wife, stepmother. And probably people just didn't think it was any big deal. So consequently, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? I mean, guys, it doesn't take much for the devil to get a toehold. And I want to tell you something else. A little leaven will go a long way. And it doesn't take long when we start compromising what we are really about for that leaven to permeate the whole lump. And before long, we're looking at something that God never intended for us to be. How does Satan use leaven to disturb and influence God's kingdom? Satan uses, as with the church at Corinth, sexual immorality. Whether we want to admit it or not, Sigmund Freud was right. Sex is one of humankind's most powerful driving forces. And Satan uses that to take our minds away from the kingdom of God. Covetousness takes our minds away from the kingdom of God. Covetousness means eager to have more and wanting more than someone else. This is another driving force. I won't, I won't, I won't. I got a grandson, love him to death. He got married last year, finally. But I never saw a child that wanted more in my life than Cody Dell Bean. And now he's paying for it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Covetousness. I mean, what's wrong with being happy with what you have? You know what's impressed me about you guys? You're happy. I've got a church. Tony doesn't see them all.
I don't see any of them.
I know. That was my joke. I can make jokes, can I? It's surprising me in my church how many people are just not happy. It is sad.
It really is.
I mean, young people today, boy, we've got
I don't know about where you're from, but man, in Little Rock, Arkansas area, young people are leaving churches in droves. Because they won't. And if we don't give them what they want, they'll go somewhere else. And if that church doesn't give them what they want, they'll go somewhere else. Covetousness. It permeates the kingdom of God and brings it to a halt. Satan uses extortion. 1 Corinthians 5:10 means violently greedy animals who rob, swindle, and steal. I love where I live. And I hope, I'm certainly glad that we don't have television stations here today. And you're in a safe place, by the way. But Little Rock's not one of the safest cities in the United States of America. Neither is Dallas. Okay, thank God. We're not by ourselves.
No.
Idolatry means someone who worships idols, which is the opposite of someone who is God-fearing and devout. To be honest, anything that means more to you than God is an idol. Satan uses these things. Don't think for a moment that society's penchant for sex is coincidental. Satan knows what driving forces relationships are, and he leavens the kingdom of heaven with it. Don't think the desire to have more materialism is just a coincidence. No, Satan uses this as a driving force to permeate the kingdom of God and bring it to a screeching halt. Don't think for a moment that robbing and cheating is coincidental. Satan knows the basest desires of humankind, and he leavens the kingdom of heaven with: do what you want to do. Get what you want to get. Any way you want to get it. Don't think for a moment idolatry, material things, becoming more important to you than God is coincidental. Satan knows what we like, what we want, and he leavens the kingdom to ensure that we have plenty of tacky little gods to worship. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. That's the way it's supposed to be.
The kingdom of heaven is like it's like leaven. Uh-huh. It breaks. Satan tries to change it from the inside. Get that? From the inside, so that it permeates everything. Breaks our relationship with God. Okay. Jesus said, let's talk about broken fellowship. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, meaning that's an offering to have fellowship with God, get your sins taken care of, till the whole was all leavened. Man, we're about walking with God. Have you ever considered what keeps a person from having fellowship with God? I have. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Now listen to this. Behold. This is God speaking, okay, from our devotion this morning. Behold. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your gods, and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Yes, that's right. Iniquities are our sins. Separated means to sever or separate or to break communion or to break fellowship.
This means our iniquities, our sins, sever our communion, our fellowship with God, and hides His face from us. We cannot expect a positive relationship with God if we allow Satan to leaven our lives with sin and iniquity. In the beginning, God created man in His image. Genesis 1:26. God placed man and woman in the Garden of Eden. And He had perfect fellowship with them. God Himself would come and walk with them and talk with them and teach them in Eden. In the cool of the day, Genesis 3:8. Satan couldn't allow that to stand. I don't think Adam and Eve were in the garden very long, do you? Came in His complicating way, confused the woman, hath God said, and then tempting them, you'll be like God if you'll eat and acquire that knowledge of good and evil. 4,000 years after Adam and Eve sinned, after Adam and Eve lost their fellowship with God, Jesus, the Son of God, came into this sin-cursed world, lived a perfect life. Listen to this. He became three measures of meal. A sin offering that restored fellowship with God, Colossians chapter 1, and now, because of the sacrificial death of Jesus, we have been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Jesus restored the fellowship with God that humankind lost in Adam, that the serpent tempted us and led us into. There's all kinds of leaven. Kind of meddle a little bit. Okay. Today there is the leaven of the Pharisees. It's the leaven of hypocrisy. Looking down our noses at people who we feel are inferior to us. There is the legend of leaven of the Sadducees. Modern rationalism. Meaning the supernatural cannot exist and only things that we can see, feel, and touch are real. That's leaven. There is the leaven of Herod. What Jesus called it, which is materialism. Herod sought to deify himself by building and accumulating material things. Read Matthew chapter 8. There is the leaven of religious toleration. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. Folks, we should never be bigots. And we should never condone evil. There is the leaven of formalism. And that is going through motions instead of experiencing the power of Almighty God. I'm so sick of motions. I want the real thing. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Spirit of God. So let me close this morning with this for about another hour. Got to make up for Monday. As I said, I was raised in the 60s, ended up graduating from high school in 1970. And I tell you, we had the best music of any generation ever. In an episode of The Twilight Zone, an American on a walking trip through Central Europe gets caught in a raging storm. Staggering through the blinding rain, he sees an imposing medieval castle, which is a hermitage for a brotherhood of monks. These monks reluctantly take the American in. Later that night, the American discovers a cell with a man locked inside. An ancient wooden staff bolts the door. The reclusive monk wouldn't let this guy out. So the American went to them. The head monk was Brother Jerome. And this American, you know, probably a liberal, pleads to let this person out of his cell. Brother Jerome said, "We can't do that." So the American went back to the prisoner. The man had a gentle face, gentle voice. He won over this American. So he sets him free. What happens? Brother Jerome comes to the man and says, "What have you done?" He said, "Don't you know that's Satan? You've just freed Satan." And the stunned American is stunned by what he has done. And Brother Jerome responds sympathetically and said, "I'm sorry for you, my son. All your life, you will remember this night and whom you have let loose on the world." And the American replied, "I didn't believe you. I didn't believe you. I saw him and didn't recognize him." To which Brother Jerome responds, "That is man's weakness and Satan's strength. Leaven is invisible. We can't see it, but it works from the inside out. Don't allow leaven hidden and placed in the world by Satan to destroy your life or your fellowship with God." God bless you, my friend.
Well, I think Pastor Robbie had something to say to each and every one of us here. Okay.